This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you because you are here. You are here, and we know that there's an atmosphere that you have brought upon us. You have brought an atmosphere of your presence, an atmosphere of your healing. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you because the power of God is present to heal. Even as this teaching is taking place, Lord, your power is present. Your power is present to heal and to heal and to heal. Lord, we receive all the measure of the blessings that you have brought to us as a people. You will help us today. You help us to listen. You help us to receive and be blessed in the name of Jesus. You open our eyes. You will quicken our hearts in the name of Jesus. There will be a turning of hearts. There will be a formation of hearts. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the supply of your Spirit, the supply of the Spirit of grace upon utterance, Spirit of grace to speak. Lord, thank you. Thank you for help. Thank you for help. Thank you for quickenings, for you are going to quicken us. Thank you because you anoint me even to speak, Lord. Jesus had said that you will speak to your people. They will not hear my words. They will hear you, Jesus. Lord, they will hear you. You, the shepherd, the shepherd, the shepherd. They will hear you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for discernment of spirit, discernment of authority, even in the house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for angels. Thank you because you will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your Spirit. Holy Ghost, I acknowledge your presence within and without. I acknowledge your manifestation. I acknowledge your presence. Thank you for breath. Thank you for entrance and light. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. The Lord has been helping us since we started. He has really poured breath for us to see again the reason for our faith, the reason for our belief, the reason why you and I will claim that I'm born again. I believe that we are getting affirmation and our conviction is becoming stronger. Amen. We are beginning to see, I believe that, you know, one of the things that happened at new birth is, you know, there's a move. There's a place where, I mean, we see the Lord move us from another kingdom towards another kingdom where you are not where, you are not in charge. And all the days of our life is to search out the conversation of that kingdom. Now, one of the things that, you know, when you see an unbeliever is a walking curse. When you see an unbeliever, you know, when there's a compassion. God's servants, he was talking about the three harvests. He said there's an harvest that first starts with you, inward, where you must be harvested. You must come to a place where you grow and come to a place where you are ripe. You come to maturity to be harvested. He also said there's another harvest of the church, of even your family. And he said something very profound. He said, you know, some of us may, when our family members, when they see you maybe in an estate that they are not in, may they not accuse us to say, but you didn't tell me. There's also the harvest of believers. There's an harvest, and we are surrounded with such. Sure, you know that, like in Lagos State, for an instance, you would think when you see a lot of churches and programs, have you seen some programs, maybe some worship programs, you think the whole of Lagos State is born again, but it's not true. Because in Lagosian conversation, you know, it's not true. And what you must be conscious of, that people can only prefer conversation from what you have. So we have a lot of believers that don't have conversation. A lot of people, like we were saying, their new birth experience is very, very faulty. You know, very, very, very faulty. So the Lord expects an harvest also, beyond the harvest of those, you know, who are outside of faith. Amen. And those are dead people. You know, those are dead conversation. And that's why, honestly, I don't believe anybody in this church will ask, is it okay to marry a Muslim? Is he okay to, you know, if you, when you ask those questions, it's simply because you don't know what you were. You don't understand. You don't understand that you were dead in sin and trespass. So when a living person is asking to be joined to a dead person, so that's the meaning of your question. If you don't know, that's the meaning of your question, that can I marry a dead person? That's the meaning of your question. So one of the things this lesson will cause us to is helping us to see. So give us eyes. And we did say a lot of things last week that, you know, that you come to church does not make you born again. That you follow your husband to church. You know, some people, they follow husband to church. Does not make you born. It does not mean that you have had the experience yourself. There's a way that a household can come to a place where everybody believe. Do you know that? They can all have that experience. You know, I did mention that, you know, you can be in an household, but the way you put yourself in, why am I saying this? Because in our household meeting at home, I think there was a time we were talking about household, of households believing together. One household like that is the household of Cornelius. You know, and that's why when you're a member of a household, there's an application of yourself to that household. So that when an experience comes, you are part of it. There was an household of Lydia. There was a household of that of Zacchaeus. Jesus told Zacchaeus that today, salvation has come to your household. Are you? So I don't believe there's only Zacchaeus that was saved. There's also Crispus. Crispus was one of the soldier that was keeping Paul. You know, also there's a place where households can come to believe. You know, like Cornelius, the whole household, he gathered the household. You know, you can. The Holy Ghost just wanted me to say that. You know, you can be in an household and you are just a tenant. You are not a member of that household. So when an experience, an encounter comes to that household, the promise is to Abraham and his children. You know, you are not part of it. An encounter that should bring belief, you can't believe. And you know, it's not only even at new birth. It's even every progression of the word of God. Every progression when the Lord brings emphasis. Emphasis, for an instance, you see this compassionate thing. Was it 2 weeks ago? I think that was when I was talking to the member of our household about it. Tenderness. The Holy Ghost just quickened, you know, tenderness. You know, tenderness. Being compassionate. You know, and you learn that from your house. You learn that from families. It's as bad as when maybe a member of your household spread things outside and you go and carry only your clothes. I mean, I'm just trying to say that when it comes to compassion, there's a training and exercise. And it's part of the nature of the lamp. They say as tender and as meek as the lamp. I say, when meekness, the curriculum of meekness, it starts with compassionate and being tender-hearted. The Holy Ghost wanted me to just say that. There must not be an experience, an encounter that you, when you belong to a family, you are just aloof. Even start with food. Eating what is in the house. I'm telling you, when you eat and eat what is in the house, when everybody is believing, you believe together. Okay, so last week we were talking about effects of and realities of new birth. I failed to go through some of them again, you know, and the Holy Ghost also bore witness to that. You know, one of the things that was said last week, that we have a nature of Christ in our spirit. And we said that one of the effects of new birth is that we have a nature of Christ where? In our spirit, and we are the children of God, and God is our what? Father. He's the Father of our spirit. Can we read Hebrews 12:9? Furthermore, we have had what? Fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reference. Shall we not much rather be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? So, the person who fathers our spirit is God. So, one thing, that it means that, you know, there was a change of fatherhood, at least, firstly in our spirit. Firstly in our spirit. You know, Satan is a father too. He's a father of the dead. He's a father of the dead. He is, you know, he has death to a father. And so, because of that, we can call him Father. Say, Father. We are children of God. You know, I know that we have taught Father as an estate that we come into, right? We've taught it as, but you see, it does not negate that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Say, Heavenly Father. So, there's a father at new birth. There's the fatherhood of God that you come into by relationship of what was done in your spirit. Amen. Before the possibility of what your soul, that reality must be sure in your spirit. That's why when you pray, our Father, when Jesus was saying, teaching us how to pray, the disciples were not yet in the estate of, say, they are fleshed out, you know, but they, he said, teach us, say, our Father. You see this thing, eh? Let me tell you, a lot of born-again Christians, they still claim their biological father. The reality of knowing that the Lord is your Father has not done. Praise God. Let's read Romans 8, 15 to 17. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. He said, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also what? Be glorified. So you see, that heirs does not mean you are there. Heir means that there's an inheritance that is to come. Abi, there's what is to come. So what they were talking about here was the transaction that happened in our spirits. Amen. When you see an heir is somebody who is legally entitled to an inheritance. So as new birth, there's an inheritance you are entitled to. There's an inheritance, you know, by the virtue of new birth, you are entitled to. A believer ought not to behave as if he doesn't have inheritance. You ought not to behave as if you are fatherless. At new birth, we are babies. Babies are cared for. Babies are protected. Babies are loved. You know, I always say that anybody that hates a baby, we should check that person. Anybody that will see a baby, there's something, you just want to love a baby, right? You see, because, well, you see why this consciousness is, have you seen a baby going to say that he's hungry, he wants to go and bring meet his uncle that lives in Aso Rock? A baby. A true baby. A true baby, the supply is not his work. All he needs to do is to do what? It's to cry. It's to do what? It's to cry. Many of us, we've seen babies. We see them and we are just kissing them. You just want to kiss them. They've never done anything for us. Have you sent them on errand? Have you, those of us that have little baby, have you said, oh yeah? No, but yet, there's a way that they respond. There's a way we respond as a parent to them. Because people, that consciousness must dawn on us. Many of us, when you have need, the first person you look to is not your heavenly father. You look to your hands. You look to people. But not your heavenly father. Well, what has happened to that consciousness? You see this thing that people feel that if you don't have connection, you can't make it in life. You know, and it's among believers. It's because they don't have an understanding of who their heavenly father is. That understanding, it must never, never leave you. Say it must never, never leave you. Everybody loves the sound of a baby. We even mimic them. I mean, we do baby talk. We do baby talk because as a parent, there's a way your heart is just in tune. And that is how we are. But I have seen believers that measure, they never enjoyed it. I don't understand. They just, you know, they are just born again. But they are, you know, that aspect is not there. You see that thing, you need it. You need to know that you can talk to him about everything. You know, I don't know what has bewitched us that you feel that, you know, you can just handle things yourself. Praise God. Our Lord Jesus, he taught us when he was going to teach us how to pray. What did he say? He said, our Father. The consciousness of God being his Father, he never left him when he was going to raise Lazarus. You know, the one thing the gospel captures, it captures the relationship, you know, that relationship aspect. Please, God is a relational God. So when they say Father, it just makes you know that you are talking about the family of God. He was going to raise Lazarus. Say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. For the sake of these people, is why I'm even saying what I am saying. Even on the cross, you know, that consciousness never left him. That, you see, many of us, we say, I feel alone. Please, because as a believer, those are not words that you come out of. You see, that thing is the beginning of depression. I feel alone. You see, this thing I'm saying that I don't know how you will wire it to know that God is my Father. Our Lord Jesus, it was never taken from him. Ephesians 2:19. You know what? This also brings us to the fact that we are now a member of God's family, members of his household. Meaning that you are not a vagabond. You are not a stray. You belong to God. You belong to a people. You are never alone. You have a company. I'm telling you, there's a company, the household. First, Ephesians 2:19. Let's read it.
Say, now therefore, you are no more what? Strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of what? God. You belong to the household of what? God. So when people talk about a born-again experience that puts you in your house without belonging to a people, it is not how the born-again experience ought to be. I'm telling you, if you were evangelized or maybe the Lord encountered and say, what are you? I'm born again. And your own definition of it, that you yourself alone. Isn't that aloneness? The internet is preaching it. The world is preaching it. It's not correct. You belong, please. It is important because I don't know whether they still say it. But when you have a new convert, you always tell them, go and belong to a household of faith. Go and belong. So when you hear people saying that they just want to have an online pastor, you know, you're just online brethren. You see, that thing, you have not done the experience. One thing the experience wants you to do is to come to church. I'm telling you, you know, these things, we need to say it and say it. The reason why people find it difficult to change, you know, even why we find people carrying a lot of, they carry the tag of being born again. They carry the tag of being a Christian. But it is not, it's because these are the foundations that are faulty. So God is a family man. It's good you know that. He talks about relationships. We belong to a family. And we must identify with the family of God. Church family. Don't be ashamed of coming to church. We are still going to talk about this in subsequent lessons. We are going to start talking about, I think, you know, fruitfulness, growth. You know, we will look at that. It's a curriculum. The curriculum of assembling together is a lesson that you must know very well. Are you understanding me? Like when you go somewhere, you can assemble together. When you go to a place, you look for a gathering where there are saints. And you must be able to fellowship with saints. Some of us, we also have issues with fellowshipping with, you know, people that maybe you, in your own opinion, as not, they don't have light. That is the word we say, as you are. You have goofed. Some of us, when sometimes our parents will say, please, oh, come for family, maybe others, and you feel that those people is a dead church. Are they not saints? You see, if you have that, you didn't encounter Jesus. Because those are saints. We are not even talking of brethren. Saint. There must be nothing. If there's a place you go to and then you cannot saint. You know, saint means scent. There's a smell. That saint, if you cannot fellowship and something is just doing you go. I'm telling you, no matter the denomination, you should be comfortable. Enough. Please be very careful. Because some of us have said some things in time past that the reason why we are still living is for mercy. Because Jesus loves his body. Forget it. Jesus, when Jesus is talking to us salvation, he's thanking his body. And that's why some people might just feel that they can just open their mouth and just begin to address some things. Jesus loves his body. Be very, very careful. They say it's his body. You touch it, you are touching him. So please, if you still have shades, that means the new birth experience must give you liberty to be able to relate with saints. Are they Catholics? Are they Protestants? Are they white garments? Are they? I'm telling you, so far, they name it the name of Jesus. You must have liberty in your heart when you find yourself and you are in that place and when you are doing everything they are doing. Not that when they are singing their hymns, you are sitting down or they are reading their prayer from the book. One other thing is that we have the privilege of fellowship, to enjoy fellowship with God and Jesus through the Holy Ghost. Can we read 1 Corinthians 1:9? By whom you were called, fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, fellowship. You see, fellowship and communion with God is one of the greatest things you own. When you say possession, it is one of the greatest things that you own. You see, your relationship with God can only be fostered by your communion and fellowship with him. And this thing has been a burden in my heart. Discover that a lot of us, especially in this community, we don't have fellowship and communion with the Lord. The sign that you are alive is communion. What did I say? The sign that you have a relationship with somebody is communion. How alive you are in the spirit is demonstrated by how you have communion and fellowship. Do you know that speaking in tongues has made some people lazy to pray? When we say it is time to pray, are you understanding me, God's people? Many of us, what we do, we start, you know when you are starting, that is mindless gibberish. Because, no, that's the reason. Because before you open your mouth, Paul said, I will pray in my understanding and I will pray in the spirit. Because communion, I need to say this, that some of us, the only semblance we have to communion is when we come to church. That's when you feel you have communion, right? In fact, Holy Ghost has understand you so much. That's the only time they even talk to you. That's the only time. You just say, After that, you have never done home at home in your personal communion and fellowship. The Holy Ghost said, I should loud it. That there's a need for you to have that personal, say personal. It's day to day. It is your evidence that you have a relationship with God. Look at you. You wake up in the morning. I told you that God is your father. You belong to, and yet this father, you don't acknowledge him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look, if your son, you have a child that will not greet you in the morning, and he will just be ignoring you as a natural parent, what is your response? Please, can we stop? Because before you pray, when you say communion is actually the time you spend to be quiet before the Lord. That time you will have without distraction to focus on the Lord. It is not the time you do. Some of us, I'm telling you, what we do, we just start, when you say, I'm having communion, it's just the gibberish speaking in tongues. Yes, I've done it. As if you are taking, it's a tablet, one tablet daily. Bam. No, you don't even start praying with tongues like that. You listen to the body. You see, the mind must be engaged in what you are saying. You fetch it. Why do our prayer leaders labor? They will give us scripture. They will give us chat. Is that you can fetch things into your spirit. And as you are praying it, and when you now see that you lack utterance to pray, then, you know, you just find yourself being taken over by the spirit. Praying in the spirit. You know, we've been taught that experience is not tongues. Is the ability to fetch out the thoughts in God and to pray it and to say, pick yourself the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's not praying in tongues. Do you know that some of us, if we time us, oh yeah, praise God in your understanding, in English or Yoruba. We've been reading Psalms. Are you understanding me? When you read Psalms, what are the things you are fetching out from there? You've been reading Psalms. There are Psalms that praise God. If we take some people here, let's time you 30 minutes in just praising God. Can you do it? I know that sometimes when we do that, the Holy Ghost can take over. But it's not that you cannot even murmur. You cannot think. You see, the reason why we don't thank God well, because we can't think of his faithfulness. But because when it comes to communion is the exchange of thoughts, feelings, emotions, words, between two individuals in an intimate what? Way, a manner. What does it show? Bond of friendship. It shows what? Deep relationship, affection. Sometimes what? Desire. It's heart to heart exchange. When you can talk to the Lord, you can commune with him. You know when they talked about the Queen of Sheba, he said she communed everything in her heart with Solomon. And that communion, some history reminded that it resulted into a child. We don't know. That is blessing, oh. The capacity to fellowship with God in the spirit, that is portion. I want to charge us today. We are still going to talk about it, you know, subsequently. We're going to talk about communion, fellowship. One of the things that new birth you must have is that thing. She said you are born again. You don't listen to God and, you know, talk to God. You know, as believers, you'll find that they don't have it. That's why you will say infirmity is catching you. Because communion yourself is a defense. Somebody who has had good communion. You understand? There's a way that the wiles of the enemy, the temptations of the day, you are saved from it. It is in communion that they give you the things they have. You know the reason why I say I'm not growing. You are not growing because, you see, the place of communion is to bring you to secondary understanding. Where they will begin to commune to you the ways. The Bible said at one point, said Abraham gave all that he had. He gave it to Isaac. and gave his possession. So a lot of Christians, you might just have the possession of God. You don't have all that God has. To Isaac. To Isaac. Look at it now. Esau and Jacob. Ewu Esau. The Bible recorded that Esau doesn't have a communion or interaction with his mother. The goats Esau was going to look for in the field, he was at home. The lamb he was going to look for, the mother had at home. Jacob did not have goats. He does not have anything but relationship. Relationship and communion is what brought blessing to Jacob. Let me tell you, a man that has richness of communion, they carry presence. There's no way you have communion, there will be no sign. There's no proof. You know, there's this song, give me substance. Give me proof. Let it show. It will show. It will show. The reason why our life is just dull, because see richness, is not there. Please, can you make decision in your heart? Because you're born again experience, and anybody that genuinely encountered Jesus, one thing you have is communion. It's sweet. There's a richness of it. You don't want to let it go. When a child, a baby always wants to be carried, always want to be. In fact, have you seen babies that even when they are not, when, you know, many mothers, we always have this issue. You don't want to sleep. We want to sleep. The child wants you to be awake. He wants you, babies like communion. So when you don't like communion, I don't know what you are. Maybe you are an inverted baby. Or you are a zombie baby. God talks so. And what we are talking about is the discipline of consistency, not even longevity. Consistency. Consistency. Do you know the reason why? You know, the Lord, there was a day we were praying. The Lord said, you are not praying, including yourself. That, you know, that, okay, what are you praying for? Are you understanding? I said, I want to challenge you. When they are leading prayer, listen. Don't just study. What are you praying? I'm saying two things now. Communion is different from our congregational prayer. You know that. And you know, can I say something? Evil communication does what? Some of us, our mouths will never even have us have rich communion. Because there's another communion that is happening in our mouths. We are still going to talk about this. But just, this one is a tip. Go and if you are born again, if you do want, you must engage the Lord every day. Every day. What did I say? And the time of communion, you must engage the Lord every day. And if you ever tell me that you're busy, you're 24 hours, you are lying. And I know you are lying. Even know you are lying. Satan knows you are lying. Because if you audit your screen time, you will find your communion time there. If you are not communing with the Lord, you are communing with other things. You see, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil did not only happen to man. It happened to this world. This world, as in what happened to what you are saying in you and I, actually happened to even this world. That's why this world is going to roll away. There's no redemption for this world. The only thing they are redeeming is me and you. Is man. But man must learn to live. You know, Satan, in the course of more than 6,000 years, he has perfected, put things in this world to hinder, to foster death. So, if you are not talking to the Lord, you are talking to something. Amen. We talked about peace last week. We said we now have peace with God and joy in our hearts. Romans 5:1. One thing that you have as a newborn believer is what? Peace. Say peace. You have peace. You have peace. One evidence that you encounter the Lord at new birth is say peace. And it's true. Everyone that accepted the Lord, maybe they came burdened. It doesn't mean the problem has gone, but they just have a peace. Because let me tell you, sin is a weight. You don't understand. Because you see, have you ever seen those slaves? Have you ever watched any slave movie? You know, there's something they place on their neck and a chain. So at new birth, when you accept Jesus, Jesus takes that thing off you. And that's why there's one peace you. I'm telling you, there are people that they, before they met the Lord, they will say that day they slept. Because peace, yeah, peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. This peace is not a peace by estate
that we are teaching as charity man, a man of peace. Jesus said, my peace, look at it now. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world what? Give I unto you. Let not your heart be what? Trouble. Let it not be what? So one thing the new birth deals with is being afraid. There's a peace you have. You just have, I've got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, peace like a river, peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a river. You know, those are things that you have, you know. So please, you understand, and nothing should take that peace from you. Say nothing. You see that thing is the beginning lesson of being born again, because you are still going to encounter the God of peace. So in a measure, we have it at new birth. The new birth experience gives us complete forgiveness of things committed in the past. I've mentioned it. Curses enacted, you know, he said as far as the east is from the west, so as far as he removed our transgression was from us. So you must know that babies are forgiven. The Bible says as a man pities his children, so he takes our sins from us. Abby, do you keep malice with a baby? Has anybody said, this baby, I will show you. If you hear somebody say that, you know that that person is hellish. So what makes you not forgive yourself? Are you understanding? It's because you still think you're an adult. When you're a baby, your sins are forgiven. I say, you know, there are believers that I've encountered that you have to talk and preach them. The things they've done in the past, they will tell you, I've done 7 abortions. I have done this. I have done that. And Satan will not let them be. It's forgiving. Amen? Let me tell you something. Paul said, I have wronged no man. Please, if Stephen's family member was there, how do you think they would feel? No, ask me now. Paul. Because some people have said that the reason why Paul gave himself for suffering was under guilt. That's not correct. That was not it. Because his scripture, epistle show why the sufferings are. It shows us it's for the face. It's for glory. So Paul said, I have wronged no man. It's Paul that said it. You wonder that, yes, Stephen. So I'm just trying to say, even Apostle Paul, that in front, they said it was his at his feet. They said, please, we want to go and deal with this guy and kill him. He said, ride on. He was going to persecute the church. Do you know how many people he must have taken to prison? Do you know how many people he would have beheaded? Do you even know whether he was part of the beheading of James? You don't know. Maybe it was his report. Are you getting me? So if Paul said that, hey, I don't know what you have done, that you will say what? Amen. So Paul said that, okay? And you being dead in sin, that's Colossians 2. We've read that last week. I don't need to read that again. Then another thing is the use of blood at new birth. You know, we said it previously that it is for justification. So one of the things new birth does is justification, atonement, redemption, reconciliation, initial sanctification. Let's read Titus 3:4-7. Can we read together? Our Savior towards man, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of what? Did you see the process that happened to us? So, you see, at new birth, we were quickened. The Holy Ghost was the one that recreated our spirit. Old spirit was not redeemed, was not purchased at new birth. What they purchased was our body and our soul. But they recreated our spirit. Please know this thing. So that when you are being asked, let it be an assurance. So there's a level of justification. You were justified. There was a level of atonement. We explained that when we're explaining the price, which is in the blood. There's a level of redemption. Redemption, buyback. You see this body, it does not belong to you again. You have come to a kingdom where you are not in charge. So you are not in charge. And then, do you know, there's also the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, that reconciliation means that God owned something. Another person, you know, took over. But then, what happens at new birth? There's a reconciling. They brought us. And that's why when people say there's irreconcilable difference in marriage or in relationship, that is anti the experience you had at new birth.
Why will a believer, you know, be married and say, I'm leaving my wife because of irreconcilable? Even Jesus reconciled you. There's a ministry of reconciliation in totality. And you have issues with reconciling with one another. You yourself, you are an entity that they reconciled. You know, not be a believer that when it comes to reconciliation, please. It doesn't show you received a reconciliation. Then there's another place of initial sanctification. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 to 14. Can we read it? But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. So sanctification means separation. It means when you are set apart. And that's why you can't tell me that you are born again. You still keep the same folks that you keep. You still go to parties. You still go to club. I'm not saying, when I say parties, well, parties in quotes, because we go to party. You see, go clubbing. What are you doing there? There shall initial sanctification that happens to you at new birth. I'm telling you, you see, the Holy Ghost, you just know that I can't continue with these people. You see, many of us, we want that old life. And then we still want, you know, what Jesus has to offer. It's just that you don't understand the meaning of being bought. They bought your body. That's your body that you are carrying to where you are carrying it to. They bought it. You know, I have a boyfriend. You know, should I? You hear questions like that. A believer asking, a believer in Church of Light, asking that I'm born again. I have a boyfriend before I was born again. In fact, you don't ask it. Holy Ghost will be the one to just, you just know that. Why you are asking that question is because I said again, you don't know you were dead. Have you, any of us have seen this vampire movie? Dead. Then a living person wants to be walking with a dead person. Are you dead? The only place that you lead to is grave. So you see, in initial sanctification, I used to do this. You see, let me tell you, that initial sanctification, what was on? There's a separation. You see, this gospel that preaches acceptance. You see those things? Believers too, we try to code our new birth experience that, you know, we are born again, but I still relate. You are foolish. You don't know what Jesus did for you. See, I always say, if you want to belong to Jesus, belong to Jesus. You see, everyone is not confused. Even Satan knows you are still his. So at new birth, there's an initial sanctification. So you can't tell me you had the born again experience and you still want to keep your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Then you want to, that's why some people say, I still find myself going back. You will go back because you have not cut ties. When they talk about useful laws, they talk about company with them. That's what is happening, that we have a lot of people who claim under the tag of being a Christian, but yet their life does not show it. Because that initial separation, you don't know it, that is it. I'm telling you, that is it. I'm telling you that. In fact, some people went extra. Yes, it's good to go extra. What is not good is for you to still stay on that side. You see, in the things of the Spirit, there's no middle ground. You see that middle ground? One own it. It's the adversary. So there's an initial separation. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. See, born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Born, born, born again. Thank God I'm born again. Goodbye, sin. I stand on the hill. Goodbye, pleasures. I stand no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way. You, some of you are ashamed of Jesus. You're ashamed that you're born again. That is because you don't know what awaits a man. I'm telling you, you are better off. Ha! You don't understand. You are better off. My faith is a tag. And I'm not flaunting it. I am living it. Maybe Lisa will say that I'm still born again. You are still relating with them. How will there be a separation? These bad boys are still come to meet you. Because, you know, as a sister, you can say no with your mouth. But yet, your action is still saying yes. Yes now. No. You know, no. And you know, and every man believes that a woman is, she know, if you chase her, she will agree. So there's an initial separation. You don't understand. So this nonsense, people are believers, they are neither here, you're there. I can see God in your mind. They will say, I want to win them. Win what? Have you winned yourself? Should I go to parties? Should I go to club? Should I go to, you know, when the Bible's instruction for those things, flee, flee. Bae say sorrow. Say this your leg. Bae say sorrow. When I became born again, there's a song, the Holy Ghost sang for me. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hear, what you hear. Be careful, little leg, where you go. You see this thing? This is my mantra. And you must know it as a believer. Amen. We also have freedom from sin and its consequences. And sickness, disease, demonic manipulation. I think we dwelt on that a lot last week. Sickness is not of God. It is one of the results of the fall. Please, your response to sickness and illness is a response of faith to address it. And we have power. Are you understanding? See, till the end, let me tell you, I will still be confessing and believing. I'm telling you. Till the end, God's people. If you feel you're a family covenant, marine spirit, Satan's girlfriend. I just wonder how many girlfriends he has. Satan's wife, you know. All of those things, you are delivered from it. Colossians 1, 2, and 14 was there. It says he has given you power to tread upon. Then we are eligible for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, I mentioned that. He said, behold, I send Luke 24, 49, promise of the Father upon you, you tarry. So you said that baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are eligible. You are eligible for the inward filling. Are you understanding? Baptism of the Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. It is very clear. You know, there are some believers that still have not have this understanding. That you are living for the baptism, for immersion. Baptism means what? Immersion. Where that your spirit that was quickened, they immerse it into the world of the Holy Ghost. You understand? And then how we find the evidence is by what? Tongues. Because these signs shall follow them. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will cast it, and they will do what? And they shall speak what? New tongues. So if you are a believer, you still struggle with, oh, tongues. Tongues is one evidence. And the apostle in Acts of Apostle, they had it as a doctrine. They will say that, have you when you are born again, they will say, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? They will ask them. If they have not, they will lay hands upon them. They will say, send for Peter. Let him come and what? Preach to them and lay hands upon. Are you understanding me? They had the doctrine of baptisms, of both water and doctrine of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, there's another thing. Pastor, you know one thing we always say? You see what that Holy Ghost baptism does? That you are empowered to be supernatural. One way a believer at new birth, one empowerment you have is actually you are a being of being super. Say super. Supernatural. Have you seen superpowers? Let's read that Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power. When after what? The Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of it. So there's a supernaturalness life that you come into. Supernatural means a life that is instituted and pushed out by the Holy Ghost. It is not your natural life. I'm telling you. If you let a lot of people share supernatural, you know, experiences they had at new birth, I'm telling you, things that you don't even know how it happened. People that were shot and gone did not enter. All manners. Because you are in a world that is being administered by the Holy Ghost. You are in a world of angels. World of many, 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 many things. Delivered from many, many, many things. Now even you, it will happen to you. Only you will be wondering that, excuse me, what happened just now? So we are empowered. You are not ordinary. Do you understand what I said? You have backing. You are not alone. So at your workplace, you are not alone. Things should not happen to you ordinary. Your life ceases from being ordinary. At new birth, there's a power that is pushed out by that experience. I'm telling you, nothing about you. Please, we need to know this. that you are not alone. You are walking. You have the Holy Ghost, God inside of you. God walking inside of you. That's what you carry. You see, well, that's when situations encounter you. That is what you rise up to face the situation. It's not fear. You see, the consciousness of that experience must dawn in you that you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost, the third person in the Godhead inside of you. That is the resource. I'm telling you. That's when, and you know that when you call him, he hears your name. I'm telling you, you see that supernatural life. I'm telling you, is it in provision? Is it in provision? Where needs are met supernaturally. Provision of multiplication. It is true. It's not in the pages of the Bible. So being born again is an induction into the supernatural life. I'm telling you, nothing concerning you is ordinary. Please, you must know it. You are open to being carried by angels, being delivered. I'm telling you, all manners of workings. That's one of it. Because if you don't know it, there's a limitation that happens to you for you to actually enjoy it. You are delivered from wiles. Do you know every day we walk, do you know how many wiles of Satan that we are delivered that you don't know of? You will just say that, I just forgot something. I quickly went to, but there was a deliverance. There was a deliverance. There was a moving. There was a movement. I'm telling you. You are just saying that this, you don't know you were delivered because there's a supernatural life that you have been baptized. So when you walk, you are not alone. I'm telling you, and it's good you know. It's good you know. Because when you stand, because when you face some things in life, you must know that I am not alone. You don't understand? There are goats. You see that thing? Move here. There are angels here. So we have to be, of course, this tied to what we said, that we followed by signs. Signs. Signing life. Signs life is normal. Are you understanding? Many of us, we don't have an expectation of it. We are so comfortable with the natural. Your hearts, my sisters, our home is supposed to be crusade ground. I don't even want to call it miracles. Miracles of supply that is not finishing. Miracles, I'm telling you. Miracles of intervention of mercy. Miracles. Please, our heart must be in such expectation. That's it. Because we are not ordinary. Then we are qualified to access. So followed by the signs in the name of Jesus. Please, it's important we know that your response when you see some is to pray. Please, people come to meet us and not feeling down. Please, can I pray with you? That should be your first response. Before you prescribe paracetamol. You see, when you prescribe paracetamol, it shows that you don't understand supernatural. I'm not saying that we take drugs. But your first response is, do you mind if I pray with you? Come, let me pray with you. It's not pastors that they say signs will follow. They say signs shall follow. Then that what? That believe. He follows disciples. You see this wave of healing? That's what's going to be happening. You're just going to sit down. You just have a move and you just lay hands and you see new highs. That's just it. That's it. Because as compassion is being worked upon us, as things are being worked in us, there's a response. But you see, we must be prepared to respond. That's one thing that we be prepared to respond. Nudging. I'm telling you, nudging. You know, something about lay hands upon the sick and recover. You know, recover is very from bending. I lay my hands upon you. Even if manifestation of sickness in your body, I keep laying it. Those one, those two, those three. I'm telling you. So we are qualified to accept the forgiveness of sins. You know, we mentioned that. We now have a new eternal destination, new earth, heaven and becoming the holy city. We see that in Revelation 21, you know, where we have access to become the Lord's life, meaning that our life, you know, is open to the possession of the inheritance, to becoming the Lamb's bride. At new birth, we are not yet Lamb's bride though. Lamb, not a marry anytime. Excuse me, Jesus is coming for a glorious church without spots, wrinkle, or what?
Blemish.
They know they manage. So you know your life. You might think I'm sure. They don't sure. They want proven. Proven. Not even an happenstance. Proven. Do you understand? Proven. They want a bride without spots. Amen? Clothed. But I know the way brides are meticulous. You can't say you are a bride and you are just not meticulous about your dressing, about your... We know all the therapy you brides go through. just so that for that day. So Jesus is coming for a glorious church. So one of the things, you know, we start that journey of becoming the bride, where our destination is new heavens and what? Yes. See, being born again, your destination is not this present heaven. That's where all saints go to. Amen. But because the Bible says in Peter, he said, this heaven and earth will do what? So it's a temporary, this present heaven is a temporary location to house the souls and the spirit of what? Believer or saint. But where they are taking us to, Gungun, is in Revelation 21. New heavens and what? New earth. And you see, it is what you do here that will determine whether you are earth or you are heaven. It is the level of your change. So access to start journey of sin and entering the kingdom. We talked about that last week, John 3. So, at new birth, you have not entered the kingdom. Say that again. Jesus is the one that said it. And when Jesus is talking, believe Jesus. See, read it. He said, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot what? So, your born again experience, what it qualifies you to is, first of all, begin to see. You walk, then you begin to see. Many of us, what we are seeing is still not the kingdom. So that process, there's still a process. But you see, Jesus now said to enter, you need to be born of what? Water and what? That is another process of growth, maturity. We're still going to talk about all of that. That will give you entrance. Say entrance.
Entrance.
You must always say, unless you are converted, you cannot enter the way you were born. Many of us were born again with sharp instruments. If we enter the kingdom like that, we will kill everybody. Starting from killing ourselves. So we have sharp objects. You have to first remove all your objects. Remove it. The daggers and the things you have. Dangerous objects. Because you can't move near the Son of God. He's meek. You know they are meek. Otherwise, you go and slaughter the lamb. You go and slaughter the lamb. So you have to remove your daggers, your swords. So you won't go and stab the lamb. The lamb will sacrifice again. Your leader. So they need to quarantine you. Let me tell you how they will first test us. They will test us with our brother. And some of us, we've shook our brother before. But there's always healing balm. When you do well with the brotherhood, you will do well with the lamp. Yeah, see? Brotherhood. That's why you need church. But stop that doctrine that teaches you can do the journey alone. You are lying. You are lying and you're on your path to destruction. The way Satan works is to first remove you from... I'm telling you, anybody Satan is your Oma Koko Yokuro Ninu Egbe, remove you from where eyes, words can reach you. You know that thing that makes you feel every man, this doctor says, every man should know the God they serve. You are lying. You are not teaching Christianity as the way it is. You are lying. Only God knows. Alone to shan say, you know, just have it in your heart. Where will you practice forgiveness? How will you practice brotherly kindness? That's a very terrible state. And you may die again. So access to spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We talked about that last week too. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all. Oh, can you say it? In where? So, you see, when we learn and learn, we come to Christ. There are blessings. Blessings what? Spiritual. Blessings in heavenly places. Please, when we talk about blessing, you see, I don't even know where we thought blessing was things that pass away. How are we say that blessing, that God has blessed me because I have a car? It's God that bless you, but it's not good for your heart to think that natural bless alone is what blessing is. You can in quotes have the blessings of all of these things. But yet, your life is bankrupt of spiritual blessing. And yet, a man might not have all those goodies you have around him. And that man is blessed. So, one thing you will begin to understand is true blessing. Blessing of faith. Blessing of the deep. You know, blessings. When they blessed Jacob. When they blessed Jacob. Was the blessing of Jacob natural? Esau was richer than Jacob. What was the blessing? Esau had more riches than... In fact, Jacob gave him, he said, I don't need all these things. Esau had riches more than Jacob. But the blessing that was... is a blessing of name. So one thing, as you grow, you begin to understand blessing. so that you will know that you have a car. In our midst, one thing that has been diffused is car. I don't think if anybody brings, what's the latest car now? Is it G-Wagon? I don't know. It will not move anybody because cars are chariots. It's use. We use it. The things of life, we use it. Well, if you say, brethren, we enter your car, we just use it. There's no attachment. We use it. People have changed cars. You use it, you drop it. It's nothing. It's nothing. Dainty things of life, ending in forex. You see all these things. You see why one of the things, yes, is to make it foolish so that people can focus on the real blessing, Ganga. Blessing of faith. And the reason sometimes when the Lord turns it down and not give people is because he doesn't want it to be a distraction. God wants us to have things before he gives us some things. So that you will know that you can use it. You see how Jesus used things? Jesus was so rich that his garment, they could not tear it. They had to cast lot for it. But it was nothing. He was the focus. Finance is still coming to the hands of God's people. Because Zion has his own economy. But we don't pursue those things. So we have the privilege of a continuous walk of to enter full service. That's what born again. Being born again. You can see that all the scripture we kept talking, you see hope of salvation. This one of this. You understand? Hope, you can see that joint S. You know, it shows that there's still something. And that's why it is wrong for you to be born again and think that is the end of your Christian experience. The enemy has done that. I don't even know which is worse. For you to be dead or for you to be born again. And think that is all. 30 years, no growth. Because growth will come by understanding. Understanding has not visited that. And that's the compassion we should have. When you see some believers amongst us, and they are still doing this thing, and yet they don't have understanding of their inheritance, that they are supposed to come to in the days of their flesh. You don't understand. You say, those who are kept, please, can you give me that, Peter? You say, those who are kept, what? By power of God, through what? Faith. Unto what? Salvation. Ready to be restored. Where? Last time. The reason that you and I say have breath is because you are kept. This scripture, the reason why you will not die now is because salvation waited. I'm telling you, if something happens, say, there's still salvation. You see, this body has an appointment with salvation. It has an appointment with salvation. So we must understand that, you know, there's a journey to a lively hope, inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that we all have to do. You see, we cannot receive the free gift of grace and keep on sinning. God's servant has defined grace to us as supernatural empowerment, reverently, and strength that brings freedom and mastery. You know, we talked about, oh, grace, by through grace, you come in, and then you continue in keep sinning and think that, because what grace should teach you? Grace should teach you was how to deny ungodliness, worldly loss, teach you to live soberly. You cannot be a believer and you're always high. Live soberly. You know, grace gives you a prescription of how to live righteously. And you know, it is multiplied by knowledge, Abby. So the abundance of knowledge should give you a regulation of how to live. So the proof and evidence that a man is in Christ Jesus is that he's no longer walking after the flesh, but after the spirit. Your walk is a proof of who and what you serve. So if a man rejects this free gift of God and all that Jesus has done freely, he will come to eternal death and destruction. If a man rejects it, eternal death and destruction is real. I didn't say hell, though. Eternal death and destruction is lake. You know the difference between hell and lake? Hell is still temporary because hell said will be cast into lake. Hell is still going to go to lake. But you see, rejecting the work of God, you reject it by your life. Lake and hell was not made for people. Hellfire was not made for men. Bible says that it is desire that all men should be what? Should be saved. Hell will not be more populated than heaven. You know, there's a picture that says everybody is going to hell. It's not true. Hell will not be more populated. Because you see, heaven is working for all men. What all this I'm saying, God wants every man. I'm telling you, the Osama Bin Laden, so, the ISIS leaders, so, in your mind, ISIS leader does not look like every man to be saved. He's part of the every man. As long as a soul has not come to damnation, say damnation. And it takes a journey for you to come to a place where you have become a man of sin. But you see, if a soul, a man is not careful, he can be trained. for eternal damnation. Disobedience. You see, I want to say this. There's no sin that leaves you the same. Whether it's visible or invisible sin, it doesn't leave you the same. When the Bible says, the soul that sinned shall die, it's true. When the Bible says, the wages of sin is what? Wages means the reward. You understand? Sin has a reward. Fornication. Are you understanding? It doesn't leave you. You see those little things. They train a man to become a man of damnation. Where you come to a place where your conscience is not even able to respond again. And that's why one thing, even when you find yourself in infirmity, you still confess it. And you see that confession is an acknowledgement. But I'm saying that you cannot say that you have received the grace and then you just expect. You know, that's where some teachings have erroneously put some believers on a foot of destruction. Where grace is preached as if there are no consequences for action. That's not true. Even the biology, the way you use your body can destroy your body. Honestly, this is not even spirituality. If you are smoking, you will fry your lungs. You fry your lungs. So I say that. It's true. You just fry it. And one day, the lungs is just fried. And it's like fried meat. It can't do the function. And the only thing is you leave the body. You know what makes the spirit and the soul leave the body is when the body cannot sustain life again. That's when they leave the spirit and soul. As much as they can still sustain life. So, what am I saying? The real work of Satan is to kill a man perpetually. And all sin leads to death. Sin has wages he pays to every man. A Christian can end in lake of hellfire. If he partakes of sin unto death, a sin that can make your spirit die again. Is it that spirit that was quickened? Only God knows when, you know, when it was quickened. Did you know? When it will die again. Will you know? So only God knows. You see that equation? But you should not practice it. So we must work out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Can we read that Philippians 2:12? Say, wherefore, my beloved, as you have what? Obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out. Can we scream it? Work out your own, what did they call it? Your own. It's not our collective salvation. That a church is declaring salvation does not mean it is your own. They say your own. There's an ownership. Please, as a believer, you need to own your Christian faith. You need to own your Christian journey. You need to stop blaming people for the reason why you are not able to journey. The world blames. Please, own yours. You say your own salvation. You see, it means that you are passionate about it. It means that you keep it. It means that you do not defer to another. I'm telling you, husband and wife, own your salvation. I'm telling you, there's no married salvation. There's no conjugal salvation. It's your own salvation. There's no father salvation. It is your own salvation. They say, work it out. They say, that means, you know what that work out? It means, apply yourself. How will I come to this? The inheritance. They say, you know what they say, work out? You know when you are working out mathematics? The different steps. These steps, these are the obedience I need to do. Now you understand? Salvation is not an happenstance. You work it out. They say, with fear and trembling. That means, you must have fear. That God, please, oh, you understand? Have fear. Have fear. They've taught you grace, but when it comes to your salvation, a heart must tremble. Say tremble. You see that tremble means that you fear God. Work it out. Your own. Say your own. You must work it out, God's people. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, what did he say you do? Cut it away. You see all this explanation and defense you give yourself to validate sin and excuse sin. Jesus told you, your Savior said, if your right eye causes you to sin, do what? If your right hand causes you to do what? He said, it is better for you to enter eternal life with maimed, blind. Salvation. I do not want to paru. They say, well done. Say your own. So there's a ownership of your faith
that you must have. Praise God. The Lord will come to us again in the name of Jesus. Can we just begin to respond to God?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.